Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. And I'm delighted to have back today as my guest, Robert Crace. And we'll be discussing The Watchmen, recently published by Simon & Schuster. And Robert, thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule to join us today.
Casey, it's my pleasure as always. It's fun to talk to you.
Last year we talked about the two-minute rule, which is now available in a nice paperback. And that novel was very successful for you, and you had to be pleased with the reception that got in the marketplace.
Absolutely. I was, because it was such a different kind of book for me, writing about, a standalone book, writing about a new character, not part of my Elvis Cole and Joe Pike series, I wasn't sure how my readers would embrace it, but clearly it struck a chord, and people warmed up to Max Holman, and I can't think of a better compliment than that.
Mm-hmm. And The Watchmen, Robert, what was interesting, I did what I say I'm never going to do. When I got the galleys, I read it right away, and then when I got ready for the interview, I had to read it again. And when I read it the second time, I realized this is a love story.
You're right, actually. From the beginning, I've thought of this book, even though, it features, it's the first book to feature Joe Pike in it, and it's an extremely intense book. I've always thought of this as a love story disguised as a thriller,
mm-hmm.
and of an extremely subtle love story, and that was a challenge for me to write, and I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, because as I was reading it through the second time, I realized that it kind of struck me. I said, "Robert's writing there. This is a love story, but it's a love story of the really of the brokenhearted."
I think that's one of the themes. I mean, and perhaps one of the reasons I wanted to feature Joe Pike in his own novel. This is the 11th book in what I think of as the Elvis Cole Joe Pike series, but the first 10 all either solely or primarily are told from Elvis Cole's point of view. And in this book, it's radically different from the earlier books because for the first time, I tell the entire story from Joe Pike's point of view. I sort of reverse their roles. And Joe's always been a very enigmatic, mysterious, closed-off character. And I was just as intrigued about him, I think, as my readers were. And part of that love story aspect, the fact that I pair him with this young woman, I think was intentional. I wanted to try to get inside him. I wanted to get through his armor, down to where he lives and in his heart. And I used this young woman he's hired to protect, Larkin Connor Barkley, to do that.
And Robert, tell us a little bit about Ms. Barkley, because there's some obvious comparisons we can make in the media, which we don't need to do, but. She's really a character that out in Los Angeles you read about a lot, but I really like the way you develop her through the story, and we get to see that the importance of a father in a relationship is another one of the themes in the novel.
Sure.
And so tell us a little bit about her when you started with her, and if she changed as you were writing the book, if you became more sympathetic to her as the story went on.
Well, I think readers will, and hopefully here's why. I mean, on the face of it, Larkin Connor Barkley is sort of the classic L.A. wild child that we all know about from magazines. She herself is an heiress to, a multi-billion-dollar fortune. Her father runs it's a family business. It's been in her family for generations. No one's ever really had to do anything for it. They're just born to this enormous wealth. And she's young and attractive and rich and running wild in L.A. you know, she's tabloid fodder. And through the course of the book, of course, one of the tasks here is to, okay, I mean, face it, Casey, on the, you know, this is probably someone that you or I or most people wouldn't enjoy being around. They might
be
able to read about in a tabloid newspaper, but some spoiled, rotten kid like this isn't really something who's going to make a great dinner companion. One of the tasks, though, it was to make her worthy of Joe Pike, because Joe Pike is risking an enormous amount. He's risking his life to try to protect this girl. But I have an ongoing theme in a lot of my books, and it's this, that really people are so much more than what we first see. That over time, that's, I guess, become increasingly important to me. I maybe because I see, you know, when I watch TV or see stuff on the internet, it seems like every day we as a people seem to disrespect each other more and more. We seem to hold people in less esteem than we used to, and make snap judgments. And I'm a big believer that most people have a story, and that most people, beyond that first glimpse we get of them, really do have a kind of a depth and a worthiness. And I wanted to slowly get to that with Larkin Connor Barkley. And I think that, you know, the fact that she and Joe Pike are on the run from unnamed and mysterious assassins, you know, in that kind of pressure cooker that you can get only in a really intense thriller like this, it strips away those surface conditions that, you know, the kind of makeup that people wear in public. And I think slowly she's revealed to have, you know, a good and a strong heart. And I think Joe Pike responds to that. Hopefully the readers do too, which is why they warm to her.
Mm-hmm. Because this is a young woman who has not heard the word no a lot in her life, and particularly when it comes to her sexuality. And
she is on the outrageous side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty clear. You know, she's used to being powerful, and you're right. I mean, you know, here's someone from a pampered, enormously wealthy background. And no one tells her no. She gets away with everything. And she also happens to be really attractive, and she knows it. And she's always played that into a power position. And you know, one of the fun parts for me as a writer is to, over the course of the story, because these two people are trapped together for days, to show Joe Pike... is Joe Pike strong enough to resist that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to constantly dance that sexual flirtation line was actually a lot of fun for me to write.
Yeah, I bet. And Bud Flynn is the one that kind of gets involved here. And if you would explain, Bud and Joe have a relationship that goes back
sure.
to Joe's. Rookie career as a policeman.
Well, Joe Pike. Let me start with even a step back from that. Joe Pike is a guy who comes. You know, in his childhood, Joe Pike was the victim of child abuse. His father was a violent alcoholic, and Joe was beaten as a child, as was Joe's mom. And it was just a horrible, horrible home life. And I think ever since then, Joe has probably been seeking a male father figure, a father figure that he could respect, as opposed to the one he actually had in his own life. And when he was a young rookie police officer, his training officer was an older cop named Bud Flynn. And Bud Flynn, in fact, was everything that Joe Pike admired. He was a good man, a strong and fair man. He was the dad Joe wanted. But now in the Watchmen, it's years later, and they haven't seen each other in years. But it's in a way, Bud Flynn gets Joe involved in this case. You know, Bud has a security business now. He's retired from LAPD, and he needs help protecting Larkin Connor Barkley, so he ends up recruiting Joe Pike to help out. And I think part of the story, as things proceed, is Joe again, like all sons do, Joe wants to please his dad. He wants to reconnect with this man he did love like a father, and that's part of the driving force that gets him involved in this case.
And Bud, one of the things that Bud said to Joe when he was a rookie, and this is a quote, he says, "You'll learn how not to hate them. You'll see some sorry bastards out here, Officer Pike, but people aren't so bad. I'm going to teach you how not to lose sight of that, because if you do, you'll end up hating them, and that's the first step towards hating yourself." Boy, I read that paragraph, and I said, boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it is the truth, and I think I actually learned that from one of my uncles. I've never been a police officer, but I come from a family of police officers. In fact, I've been four generations of police officers in my family. And when I was a boy, one of my uncles, who worked in the juvenile division of the police department where I'm from, he told me that once, because we were talking. And, you know, and he dealt with troubled kids all the time and bad guys all the time. And he had told some horrendous story. And I asked him, and I thought it was appalling, and I asked him how, you know, what I remember saying is, oh, God, you must hate that guy. And he said, you can't hate them, because if you start to hate them, then pretty soon you start to hate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wise guy, and it stuck with me ever since. So I gave that to Bud Flynn.
Mm-hmm. I really, really like that. Robert, one of the things that's interesting is that Elvis Cole is in The Watchmen, and I found it interesting as a reader to see how I viewed Elvis through, you know, when the story's not being told by him. What kind of characteristics he has, whether he's as funny as he thinks he is. And it was interesting to see Elvis Cole from other people's points of view.
Casey, I got to tell you, among the hardest scenes, the most difficult scenes I've ever written in my life were those scenes where I was watching Elvis Cole from the third person. See, all the earlier books, whenever I've been with Elvis Cole, it's been first person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it's me inside Elvis, and everything's told from the first person. You know, I walked into the room, I see this. But because Elvis has only a minor role in this book, it just didn't work for me to write those scenes in the first person. And I thought, because this is Joe's book, I need to step outside of Elvis and write him in the third person. Man, I have to tell you, those first couple of Elvis Cole scenes that appear here, I probably wrote them at least 11 or 12 times each, because it never sounded right. It was one of the hardest jobs of work I've ever done, to try to find just the right tone to see what other people would see when they saw Elvis Cole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured, and you did a great job with it, but I figured that had to be hard. Like, there's the nice little reference to Pinocchio in there, and, you know, going back to the monkey's raincoat, and, you know, and he... you know, he reflects the clients never really cared for it, but the bad guys, the police officers, they always seem fascinated by Pinocchio, and Cole, he'd stopped trying to figure that out. I got a kick out of that.
You know, it was one of the things that was fun for me by recasting the point of view that way with Elvis is to see his to see him also as other people see him. Now, I think of Elvis as a funny guy, and mm-hmm. I think most of my readers do too. Mm-hmm. But I have that moment in the book where he's trying to be funny with Larkin Barkley, and she says, "Oh, I get it. You're the one who thinks he's funny, but isn't."
Mm-hmm.
And she just pours the water on him because he's trying, and it's just not working with her.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of comic relief in the book because it is an intense thriller. John Chen is just some great scenes with him. And if you would tell us a little bit about Mr. Chen, and he wants Joe Pike's respect so badly, and wants he would like to be Joe Pike, and there are really some great scenes in there with him.
Thank you, Casey. And you know what? That's it. You hit the nail on the head. See, he wants John is one of my favorite characters to write. I first created him in a book I wrote called L.A. Requiem, which was an Elvis called Joe Pike book, and he was so much fun to write that he's appeared in almost every book I've written since. He's a criminalist for LAPD Scientific Investigations Division, and he is a classic lab geek who lives on his fantasies. You know, he's constantly trying to get a date and can't. He's constantly chasing women. He feels put upon and beaten down by the world. He's shouldered the yoke of his responsibility of being a geek. And I think in his heart of hearts, when he looks at a guy like Joe Pike, who is this really, you know, this kind of Clint Eastwood, strong, silent, dangerous guy, I mean, that's his fantasy. He fantasizes what Pike's life must be like, how Pike gets all the women he wants, you know, and fast cars and the good life and the respect and fear of other men. It's like Joe Pike is Conan the Barbarian to John
mm-hmm.
Chen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real hoot. John lives in such an exaggerated world of his own making that it's a real hoot to be with him and follow him through all the outrageous statements and statements he makes about people.
But he also helps you move the plot along as well because of the nature of the job he has inside the department.
Well, one of the things he realizes is that finally in the book, he realizes that Joe Pike actually respects him.
Mm-hmm.
And that never occurred to John. John has an important contribution to make here, and that's why Joe Pike contacts John, because he needs some forensics work done, some laboratory work done, and John is too busy being being frightened and feeling put upon to really think about this, about why Joe Pike would come to him. But there is a point in the book when John has done some work for Joe, and I'm not giving spoilers or anything
here, right?
Where John realizes, hey, wait a minute, this man, my hero, in essence, Joe Pike, has come to me because he actually respects me. And when Chen realizes that, his self-esteem quotient just goes up 100 points. It really starts to mark a change in the character. You know, he starts to walk a little straighter.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to be a little calmer about himself. He starts to feel, I think, more in touch with himself, and that's part of, I think, part of Chen's journey, and actually what I think the kind of magic of Joe Pike through the books. He's in his own way, through the way he hangs on to his beliefs and through his own struggle, I think he begins to have a positive effect on the people he comes in contact with.
And The Watchmen, which we're discussing today, written by Robert Crace, recently published by Simon & Schuster. Another, the plot, Robert, it becomes very complicated. And another one of the recurring characters that I love gets involved. And again, no spoilers here, but Mr. Garcia, Frank Garcia.
Yeah.
Joe ends up cannot figure his way out of this one, and Frank Garcia becomes involved. And there's another character that that Joe looks up to and really had a profound impact on Joe Pike's life.
Again, you know, older father figure, Frank Garcia, the character you're speaking about, he's a self-made man in Los Angeles who started on the wrong side of the tracks from a Mexican immigrant family. Was in gangs when he was a kid, but he worked hard in his aunt's kitchen, and he managed to turn a small single food stand and a tortilla bakery into a major national food empire. And along the way, many years ago, Joe Pike used to date Frank's daughter, and I think Frank developed a huge fondness for Joe Pike, as did Joe for Frank. And Frank is the kind of guy who stayed connected in the city of Los Angeles because of his wealth and position. You know, he has influence, and he, because of that family connection between Frank and Joe, Frank is willing and able to help Joe when he needs it. You know, it occurred to me not long ago that with these Elvis Cole, Joe Pike books, I mean, not only are the books about those characters, but what I'm doing here, the books are actually all part of a larger canvas, and I've started to think of it as Elvis and Joe's Los Angeles. And it has a, you know, it has a history now over the 11 books in the series. It has a history. It has recurring characters. You know, when Elvis and Joe Pike meet people who are good people, those characters, those people tend to stay in their lives. Just like when you or I meet people, you know, and mm-hmm. we become friendly with people, or we become hooked up with people, they become part of our lives. And that's proven to add a richness to the writing. At least I hope it does. That I've really started to enjoy, so that I can go back to characters like Frank Garcia or John Chen or Carol Starkey or any of the others, and it's all become part of a larger family.
Mm-hmm. And you've created a credibility with me as a reader, where when Frank Garcia gets involved in The Watchmen, it's believable to me.
Good. I'm glad. I want it to be. You know, I try. I work hard to never. I want to play fair with readers.
Yeah.
I never want to cheat the reader on any of this stuff. I want it to feel real and good and honest and natural to me, and I want it to feel that way for readers also.
And Robert, the style you chose was to write it from what happens each day.
Right.
And was that just stylistically, was that just the best way for you to tell this story?
I thought it was the best way to tell the story because it's such an intense, compressed story. This story literally starts with a bang. I wanted to hit the ground running right in the middle of the action. That part was just a writer's decision that I made. You know, every time I write one of these books, I try to do something a little bit different. I try to do, it's important to me to grow as a writer, so I'm always trying. I'm setting new tasks for myself. I'm trying to practice and expand what I do. Part of that in this book was that, hey, it's the first Joe Pike novel. You know,
yeah.
First book I've ever done from Joe's point of view. But the other thing was, well, how do I tell the story? I wanted to drop right into the middle of it. Here's Joe. Here's this girl. We don't know anything about the girl yet, but man, they are in the middle of a firefight from the get-go. You know, they're guys we don't know who are trying to kill them. It's all Joe can do to keep this girl alive and run and hide. And I wanted to maintain that intensity all the way through. And I knew the story was going to unfold. And climax quickly. It was going to happen in just a matter of 3 or 4 days, five
mm-hmm.
days. And I thought that if I broke the uh, the book into daily sections, that would actually help increase the sense of intensity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think it does. I think it really did. And in The Watchmen, as I was reading it, I was thinking that Larkin Barkley has changed Joe Pike, and it seems to me that for the first time in the series, he might want something a little more out of life. And that, to me, was really exciting to see as a character that out of all the people in the world that could have an impact on Joe Pike, it's some wacky teenager who makes him take a look and say, you know, maybe there is something more out there for me.
You know, I think that you're right, and that gets back to this, the whole business of the theme that people are more than they seem. Because there's a point in the book where what Joe realizes is even though on the face of it they are so dissimilar people, they have much in common. You know, even though, you know, with you know, here's Joe, he's this big ex-Marine, ex-cop, ex-mercenary, you know, with his horrible background, horrible family background. Here's this young, beautiful, rich, headline-grabbing young woman. But they are who they are because they're each dealing with their experiences as a child, and those experiences, in their own ways, have a lot of similarities. And I think Joe is moved by that, not only for her, but for himself too. And I that was part of my, that's really where I wanted to go with this. You know, when I said earlier that I wanted to get into Joe's heart, I'm intrigued by Joe Pike too. After all these books of writing this enigmatic, mysterious, closed off character, I wanted to get in there too. I wanted to see what he really thinks about. You know how you just know if you read any of the books and you had any experience with Joe Pike and thought about him, you just know a guy like Joe Pike, he's not going to think about things the way you or I would think about things.
Right.
Casey, I mean, it's got to be different.
Right.
And I wanted to get inside and touch him in some way and see what moved him. And Larkin Barkley is the person who did that.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. We're discussing The Watchmen by Robert Crace, published by Simon & Schuster. And Robert, I've got to say that I think that you've set the bar pretty high with this one as far as I just love this book. I mean, I thought that from start to finish, it just read beautifully. And it had to be exciting for you and at the same time kind of cause you some confusion in terms of, my God, where do I go next?
You know what, I'll tell you an interesting, because you said that, where do I go next? That was something else different about this book for me. You know, I'm a big outliner, meaning I've always outlined my books, and that comes from my history, I think, in television and film, where you outline everything. You figure out the story before you actually write it. Again, and this is my 14th novel in total, I believe it is, counting my standalones. And every one of those books I've outlined in great detail. And I said about, I started trying to outline this book too, but I just couldn't do it. You know, I would start and I would stop, and everything seemed wrong. And that was freaking me out, Casey, because I thought, oh my God, have I run out of gas? Is this the end of my career? But I think it had to do with the fact that this book is so different for me because it's from Joe's point of view. And finally, out of desperation, I just started writing some of the scenes that I had in my head, and little by little Joe took over and he kind of guided me through the story. But I was terrified the entire time because I had no idea where it was going.
Which is kind of funny because I remember last year when we talked for the first time, you had that feeling during L.A. Requiem, and that you were frightened when you were writing that. And that ended up being a breakout book for you. And I think The Watchman has the same capabilities. I just think it's a hell of a book.
Thank you very much, Casey.
So so now we've got the two-minute rule out in paperback. We've got the Watchman out, the first Joe Pike novel. And Robert, congratulations on writing what I think is a very entertaining book as well as a very well-plotted book. And I'm just excited for you. I really look forward for the books that are to come, because there aren't a lot of writers that I get excited about when I see the galleys come in, and I certainly was excited with The Watchmen, and I was not disappointed at all.
Casey, I appreciate that. I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
Great. So we'll catch up with you when the next book comes out. And in the meantime, continued success with The Watchmen.
Thank you, sir.